Scroll down to Bookstore, browse, and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to Bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, today we're looking at President Trump's record and the question of heaven. Can you think of an America today, ladies and gentlemen, what it would be like had President Trump not been divinely placed into office? I believe it was God's divine intervention that placed him in office in 2016. I believe it's God's divine intervention that placed him in office again in 2024. And I believe it's God's divine intervention that saved his life, as President Trump realizes, in order for Trump to do the work that God has placed him here to do as president of our nation. America would be controlled by the Marxist media and the Communist Party today had it not been for God placing Trump in office, in my opinion. Today, had it not been for Donald Trump, boys and girls will still be butchered under the so-called gender care program across America. Today, if God had not placed Trump in office, girls and women would not be able to go into bathrooms and shower rooms and locker rooms without being attacked by males that supposedly are thinking that they're females in that day. We would have no Bill of Rights, in my most humble opinion, had God not placed Donald Trump in. Based on what we're finding today with the unpeeling of the onion, as I call it, in relationship to what's happening in the debanking of the conservatives and the Christians and the patriots, what was taking place in relationship to the censorship on all social media for those that would speak the truth, we were called conspiracist, and as a result of that, we were shut, our mouths were shut. What would it be like if Trump had not been elected, ladies and gentlemen? Where would we be? And I understand, listen very carefully, he's done some wonderful, wonderful works. But ladies and gentlemen, does that calculate to the point where it says, because of the works, you can go to heaven? Can you imagine God saying, President Trump, listen, man, you're a wonderful dude. You're a wonderful man. You've done great wonders for America. You have been honest. You have been stringent in what you've done. You've had a spine and a backbone, a tenacity to be obedient to what needs to be done based on the Constitution. So I'll tell you what, Trump, I'm going to open the doors and let you into heaven. What say you, ladies and gentlemen? 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. I believe we still have Jim on the line. Jim, what say you to my statements?
If you want to look at it in the secular, on a balance there, the good outweighs the bad. But if you want to look at the word of God, guilty in one part of the law, guilty in all. Good works doesn't obtain heaven. But the Spirit of Jesus Christ dwelling in you will get you to heaven because you profess Christ. However, that same Spirit within you then produces good works, is the way I understand it, sir.
That is correct. In fact, we're saved by grace and not by works, lest any man should boast, according to the Scripture. We find that, let me just read you, I'm looking at the headline, President Trump says, I want to try and get to heaven, if possible. This is his statement. President Donald Trump has talked about his hopes for afterlife and his eternity. It isn't every day that you hear of a U.S. president on his thoughts about death and afterlife. His comments referenced his peacemaking work, for which multiple nominators already have suggested he be a recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize. This is what Trump said, and I'm quoting, "If I could save 7,000 people a week from being killed, I think that's a pretty," and then it kind of pauses a moment, "I want to get to heaven if possible. I hear I'm not doing well. I hear I'm really at the bottom of the totem pole. But if I could get to heaven, this would be one of the reasons. I think I saved a lot of lives in India and in Pakistan. They were going at it. Planes were being shot down. That was going to be maybe the nuclear war if I let that go. And I did it through trade." Goes further. He knows he's, this writer says, he knows he's giving his heart to Jesus, right? Some pastors need to tell him. He needs the faith for heaven. Someone needs to share the gospel with him. That's what was said. Now, I've got a sheaf of articles where President Trump has been talking about spiritual things for quite some time. In fact, I'm looking at a list of dates. For example, August 19th, 1925, "If I could go to heaven, save 7,000 people," I just read that portion of the major article, "on the Ingram Angle program, mid-2024, President Trump, when asked if he believed in heaven, he said, I do. If I'm good, I'm going to heaven. If I'm bad, I'm going to someplace else, like over there, you know, right? If not in 2026, in 2016, campaign event, evangelical pastors in Orlando, I said this, "Once I get in, I will do my thing that I will do very well. I figure it's probably maybe the only way I'm going to get to heaven, so I better be good." And then in 2015, an interview, Trump shared his faith on heaven and his prospects. "Yes," when asked if he believes in heaven, "I hope so," when he was asked if he'd go to heaven. "That's what I strive for. Pretty good, I think." So here's my question, Jim. He has some spiritual people around him. He has a major national conservative pastor that's embraced him, encouraged him, prayed with him, etc. He has a female so-called pastor that's one of the ones in his religious, if you please, circle. My question is it possible that these voices around him have failed to give him the plan of salvation and tell him what is needed to be saved, what he needs to do for salvation?
That's a very good question. I would hope that they haven't failed. I could see where he would try to be secular in a view for political purposes, but profession of Christ is a, in some ways, it's a personal thing, but at the same time, you're supposed to, you know, confess your belief to others around you, and you're supposed to evangelize. So that's a really difficult question.
Scripture says, "We confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness." The scripture very clearly says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." It is by faith that we say yes to Christ. It is a free gift, but we need to receive that gift. It is not by works that we have done, the scripture says. But Jim, it deserves our prayer and our consideration. I'm thankful for him. We need to pray that God will place somebody in his path that will lead him to true faith in Jesus Christ. Jim, thank you so much for your
call.
I believe we have Greg on the line. Greg, go over the question to comment, please.
You know, I agree as you. Donald Trump is surrounded by folks that are steeped in Scripture, many theologically sound and a few horribly not biblically sound. However, I was confronted with this one little interesting thing that popped up on Facebook from a group called the Truth Hub, and clearly it's a Catholic group. I have a great deal of Catholic friends. I love them tremendously, but I'll tell you this particular page for Donald Trump. It responds to his statement: "I want to try and get to heaven. If I can get to heaven, this will be one of the reasons." And the response from the Truth Hub is: "Be a Catholic, be baptized as a Catholic, and live a life of prayer, and the sacraments. Here's the problem. And again, I love my Christian, and I'm sorry, my Catholic friends, but if Christianity is based on this, it's a false Christianity. If salvation is based on this, it's a false salvation. This is nowhere to be found in Scripture. Mm-hmm. And of course, I responded with a simple, you know, Romans 10, 9, and 10, and stated, hey, you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead. That's the core of Romans 10, 9, and 10. And Lord is master. There's no other name under heaven by which men must be saved other than Jesus' name. And sadly, you have so many that are trying to work their way to heaven. If you can work your way to heaven, if you can, you know, fill out a piece of paper and join a church, any church, the Catholic Church, whatever, if you can join something and all of a sudden, you know, that saved you, if you can be a really, really good person and that saved you, Jesus went to the cross for no reason at all. Mm-hmm. So we have a problem. And of course, the Scripture makes explicitly clear, says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's Ephesians 2, 8, 9. The thing is, we are saved to good works. A believer ought to be performing good works, and you see that in Ephesians 2, 10. So you have absolute clarity on the doctrine of salvation through the Scripture. It is by God's grace. The only portion that man does, and is literally no work at all, it's receiving that gift. It's accepting, receiving, believing, repenting. All of these things are actions. They're action words. They're verbs, every single one of them. And you'll find them in every soteriological text, every salvation text in Scripture. You'll find a requirement of man, but none of them are works. It is always, 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 always God's grace.
Yes,
Jesus
absolutely.
Christ shed blood poured out on that cross.
Greg, here's a statement by Franklin Graham on Facebook. President Donald Trump brought up the topic of heaven on Fox News yesterday morning, and I'm glad that he did, because many people struggle with the question of how we can get to heaven. We do not get to heaven by good works, nor by our own good works, but by the perfect work of God's Son, Jesus Christ, when he came to earth, took our sins on the cross, shed his blood, died, was buried, and God raised him to life on the third day. We all have the promise of eternal life if we repent of our sins, trust him by faith, make him our Lord and Savior. That's how we get to heaven. Not by good works, but by his, that's God's, good works on the cross. I think that summarizes it pretty clearly and very succinctly, because Greg, as most of our listeners that have been saved said yes to Jesus, realize that it is not by works of righteousness that we have done, but by the shed blood of the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary. We've all fallen short, the Scripture says, of the perfect position of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to place our faith and trust in him as Savior and as Lord. Greg, I'm thankful that you took a moment to pick up the telephone and call. Do you have a moment to hang in there? I want to listen to what Brother Davis has to say. He's calling, and let you respond to it. Davis, go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. Well, I believe the Lord, in this situation, is going to treat Trump the same way he would treat all of the doctrines of the theology that we have now that's out promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ. But John 3:16-18 says, you're condemned already because you have not believed in the only begotten Son of God. So we're condemned if without unbelief is the only unpardonable sin. But I'm afraid there many people's good works are going to be burned up, just like he was talking about, oh, we've done this, and we've done that, and we've done the other. And then he tells them, depart, I never knew you. That doesn't mean we're going to lose our salvation if we believe in him, but all our good works. And these are going around and teaching and have a great following of a weekend crucifixion of Jesus Christ instead of full 3 days and three nights. Are they drawing the crowd? But all their good works are going to be burned up.
Brother, you're exactly right. Greg, do you have a comment to that before Brother Davis gets off the line?
Well, I love the fact that this question, that this this statement has been made by Donald Trump.
Yes.
Think of the value.
Yes.
of the value. the entire world is now evaluating, what does it mean to be a Christian?
Amen.
What does it
That's
mean
right.
to be saved? What does it take to go to heaven? So as much as I think that that statement was made innocently on his part, and he doesn't have a full understanding of salvation, guess what? For those that are believers today, this is your chance. This is your opportunity. Share the real gospel of Jesus Christ and what it means to be born again.
Absolutely. Greg, thank you for joining us with that comment. I know you're busy. Ladies and gentlemen, this is one of our four sons, Greg. He's up in the southern tip of heaven, that place called Northeast Tennessee. Greg, thank you so much for taking time to call and have a blessed day. I believe we have, thank you, David, for your call, joining in the discussion today. I believe Tom is on the line. Tom, go over the question or comment, please.
Let me have the Billy Club on which and a small drink.
Brother Tom, are you there? Tom, are you there? I believe we've lost Tom. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today what President Trump has done is all of his good works and somehow, some way, a belief system. This is not condemnatory, but he is saying that he believes he's done enough good works, that he's hopeful that he will get into heaven. He thinks that he will get into heaven. But ladies and gentlemen, sometimes it's the cultural belief, not biblical, the cultural belief that a good person will go to heaven. I can recall back in the 60s, early 60s, where an evangelist, a conservative preacher, traveling preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he would swing his finger around at the audience, and he'd say, a lot of good people are going to die and go to hell. And that's exactly what I'm saying today. There are a lot of good people that perhaps you're listening today that you've never personally received Christ as Savior, but depending on good works, there are a lot of good people that are going to die and go to a devil's hell. We need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that it's not through works of righteousness that we have done that will send us to heaven. It is based on the authority of the Scripture. What the Scripture says makes the difference. And by the way, one of our callers touched on just a moment ago about John chapter 3, and he quoted and referred to John 3, 17, 18, and following. But I want to call our attention to that same story in the third chapter of John. A man by the name of Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. And listen, I want us to understand how this is such a good comparison to where we are today and what we're talking about. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Do you have a question about heaven? Are you going to heaven? Are you sure? What have you done? Is it goodbye by good works that you're planning on? A lot of religious denominations today, a lot of denominational dogma today says that if you just do all of the sacraments and you do enough good works, you keep peddling that bicycle from door to door, you keep passing out enough Wake and Watchtower magazines, you're going to go to heaven. And that simply is not the plan of salvation that we find in the Scripture that God has given us. Trump has often spoken about his accomplishments, his values, and his actions in such a way that reflects his belief in his own moral, social worth. Like many people today, ladies and gentlemen, he's associating being good and helping others and supporting religious causes as something that's worthy of heaven. But Nicodemus in the third chapter, and we'll get to our callers in just a moment. Nicodemus in the third chapter of the Gospel of John, positionally, he was a Pharisee, the Scripture says. That is, he knew the Old Testament law. He observed all of the holy days and the holidays. Politically, he was a ruler of the Jews. That is, he was a master member of the Sanhedrin, the Supreme Court of his day. Professionally, he was a professor of theology in Israel, according to the 10th verse of John, the third chapter. So here's a man that positionally, politically, and professionally, he was in a position of prestige. He was doing a lot of good works, doing a lot of good things. But Jesus says, ye must be born again. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no cliche that's been around for less than 100 years that if you have two births, you'll die once. If you have one birth, you'll die twice. That is physical death and spiritual death. I believe we have Santiago on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, God bless you, Dr. Jablot. The Bible said if you confess it with your mouth and follow what Jesus said, and you know how to do like Nicodemus, come at night, be embarrassed to see people see you, that to confess Jesus Christ that is your Lord and salvation. That's the my point of view that I have to say. You have to confess and then follow. It's not by what you do.
Absolutely. I'm glad you said that. I'm looking at Romans, the 5th chapter, the 8th verse. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And you find it is a follow-up for the Romans 3 and verse 23 text, where it's very, very clear of who we are and what we are. Verse 23 in Romans 3, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's not a matter of your bad person, and so you're going to hell. Every one of us deserve hell, but because of the free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross, and through our faith, placing our faith and trust in him. In fact, in Romans, the 10th chapter, verse 9 and following, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So, Santiago, the bottom line is, it is my prayer today that this will have opened the dialogue and the discussion nationally and perhaps even globally, that people will check up. See if you're saved. Have you made a decision for Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord? Santiago, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you today as we keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll go back to that text speaking about Nicodemus coming to Jesus. Santiago touched on it. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. And it's because positionally he was a Pharisee, politically he was a member of the Sanhedrin, the Supreme Court of his day, professionally he was a teacher of theology to the nation of Israel, to the Jewish people. He had it all together. So I've used the term many times down through the years. Somebody could drive by Nicodemus' house and say, a good man lives there. He's done a lot of good things. He's handled this. He's done that. He worships on the holidays and the holy days and the feast days and the very days in the Jewish calendar that we need to do so. He met all the criteria in that realm, but he was lost. There was a hunger in his heart. And because of his position, he came to Jesus by night because he would have been embarrassed by his political, those in the political circles that he walked in. I believe we're dealing with a very similar thing today. There are a lot of political people, a lot of high-profile people, a lot of those that perhaps are listening today because of your position in life, because of your standard and your status, you feel somehow, some way embarrassed to say, I'm lost and on my way to a devil's hell. Right now, I would invite you to say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. Recognize that we're all sinners. We all deserve hell. But those that go to heaven will be the ones that will recognize we're lost. The scripture says we need to do that. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Need to recognize that. Are you a sinner? Do you confess that you're a sinner? Have you volitionally said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Forgive me my sins. Come into my heart and save me. Help me to live for you because you died for me. The scripture is very clear that we need to recognize we're lost. Secondly, we need to repent of sin. Repent of sin. That Romans 10, 9, 10, and 11 that I spoke of a moment ago. We need to recognize that we're sinners. Repent of sin. What does it mean to repent? It means to have a change of heart, change of mind, change of direction. Repent means I'm going in one direction, and I change my mind, and I turn and go in the opposite direction and go to Christ. That's repent. Repentance is required for salvation. Without repentance, there's no remission of sin. And then the request. You're not saved just simply by osmosis. You're not saved by being a good Baptist, good Methodist, good Presbyterian, a good Catholic, or any other denomination. You're not saved by all of the layers and layers of good works and all of the layers of the dogma of your denomination. We're saved, very simply, by faith, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to ask him to save us. Lord Jesus, forgive me my sins. Come into my heart and save me. Personally, receiving Christ as Savior. And then to receive him as Savior. The Bible is very, very clear in the text in relationship to that. In Romans, the 6th chapter, and in the 23rd verse, it tells us this. Let me read that for us for just a moment. Romans 6:23. the scripture gives us these words. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is a free gift. A gift can't be bought. A gift can't be worked for. A gift is not something that's deserved. It is a free gift. And the gift today that's being offered, according to the Word of God, is the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you know Him? Have you said yes to Him as Savior and as Lord? I can see, as we look at the documents in relationship to President Trump, I'm looking at a portion of one that says, throughout his presidency, Trump has strong support from many evangelical Christians and religious conservatives. He often emphasized religious freedom, opposed abortion, appointed conservative judges, which bolster his belief that he has aligned himself with many Christians, and he sees himself as being a good person. But ladies and gentlemen, being a good person will not save you. Nicodemus was a good person. There are a lot of people today that are going, good people that are going to die and go to a devil's hell. Let me read once again President Trump's statement. If I can save 7,000 people a week from being killed, I think that's pretty. I want to try to get to heaven if possible. I'm hearing that I'm not doing so well. I'm really at the bottom of the totem pole. But if I can get to heaven, this will be one of the very reasons to get there. And in the status of what Trump has done down through the years and the questions that he's asked in relationship to it, he started in 2015 asking questions about how to be saved, his relationship to Jesus Christ, and what others thought in relationship to it. Ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line, I am prayerful that somebody in the Trump orbit, somebody in the Trump cabinet that's saved, somebody that's his advisors, will tell him, President Trump, you're a good man, you're doing a good job, but good works will not get you to heaven. You need to personally invite Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you, and then live for him and serve him and honor him. Ladies and gentlemen, I go back to, in closing, Nicodemus and what he did and what he said. And that is the end of the game. It is Nicodemus coming to Jesus, recognizing there was a need, asking Jesus, basically, what should I do? He came to him by night because he was afraid of what somebody might say. It is my prayer that President Trump, in his boldness, will not be fearful of making a decision for Jesus Christ. Keep praying, keep looking up, and asking the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Savior for Donald J. Trump, that he'd come into his heart, that Trump would invite him in. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on